I want to share with you this morning the results of the resurrection. The result. Aren't you glad that you have a living Savior? Say amen. He's alive. Thank God He's real. He's in this building this morning, and He lives in the heart of every believer in here, because when you got saved, the Holy Ghost of God came in your heart crying, Abba, Father. I want to read several passages of Scripture this morning. If you'll follow with me in Acts chapter number 2, first of all, I'll begin with verse number 22. And Brother Barry did read a good bit of what I was going to read, but I want to read it in your hearing, and I'll get you out on time. Listen to this. Ye men of Israel, Hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou hast made me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and in his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which now ye see here. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you again for the privilege of being here. Thank you, God, for the wonderful congregational singing this morning. And Lord, for touching Roland and God blessing us so much through him. And thank you for Miss Juanita playing so beautifully once again. Thank you, our Father, for Wendy and Melanie and all the helpers that work with the boys and girls during this time in Children's Church. And I pray, God, as they present to them the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Word of God will find lodging in the hearts of every one of those children, and that every one of them would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I, Father, we'd have the joy of seeing them baptized and grow in the Lord. And I pray, God, that you'd bless, be with all of our listeners in the radio audits and those in the media audits this morning. And I pray, God, that you'd bless us here in the building. And our Father, I'm glad I could bow before you this morning and confess once again that there's no good thing in me, but God, you're God. Thank you for a living Savior. And I pray, God, that you'd bless now, speak through me and bless your people and save the lost in Jesus' name. Amen. I got three little simple things to say to you this morning, and I'll put a few things under those few things. But what are the results of the resurrection? I cannot encompass in just these few minutes the entirety of what the resurrection means. But I will say to you, the birth of Jesus Christ of a virgin was absolutely essential. He had to be born of a virgin. He had to have God as his father. He did not have what we call human blood in him. He had divine divine blood. The Pilate said, it is innocent blood. He had no sin nature like you and I have. He was Emmanuel, God incarnate in human flesh. And to do that, he had to be born of a virgin. The virgin birth is essential to salvation and to the message of the gospel. The crucifixion, Christ said, I came to not to live, but to die and to give my life a ransom. The death of Christ and the sacrifice on the cross, the Bible said that he gave his blood for us, bore all our sins in his own body and died on the cross. And what he did on the cross was absolutely essential. And when he cried, it is finished. And then, Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit. My dear friend, he had paid the sin debt for all of mankind. We are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the death of Christ was absolutely essential. But the birth would not mean as much, and it would not be effective. And the cross would not be as much and be effective were it not for the resurrection. The resurrection is the proof that he was the sinless Son of God. It is the proof that he was God's Son. It's the proof that the penalty was paid, the debt is paid, and he satisfied all the indictments on all the human race, and it's to be received as a free gift. The Bible says that he showed himself to be alive with many infallible proofs, and thank God he's alive. He's alive forevermore. When you see him in the book of Revelation, you see him in his resurrected glory, and he said, I'm he who was dead, and I am alive forevermore. I tell you, it goes all the way through the book of Revelation, the resurrection of Christ. And I want to just say to you three simple things this morning. What are the results of the resurrection? First of all, it is an exalted Christ, an exalted Christ. Second, it is this, it is a emboldened disciples, emboldened. And then it is an empowered gospel because of the resurrection. First of all, an exalted Christ. I read it to you in this passage of scripture where it says that God hath raised him up and he made him to sit on his own right hand. Look at verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted his own Son. In the book of Philippians, it says this, let this man be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant, being found in fashion as a man. He suffered even the death of the cross. Wherefore, the Bible said, wherefore, because he took on a human body, because he suffered a sacrificial death, because he was resurrected, the Bible says, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ has been exalted. He came and he humbled himself before the Father. He gave his will over to the Father. Not my will, but thine be done. He was despised and rejected of men, but now he's exalted, King of kings and Lord of lords. He's been exalted, and there he'll rule and reign with us, for us and with us for all eternity. Look at verse number 36. It says this, until I make thy foes thy footstool. God has exalted him and has him sitting at the right hand. And notice verse 36 again. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's Lord. He is ruler. He is sovereign. He is king. He's in charge of everything. God hath committed judgment to his own Son, and he'll rule and reign. And then he's the Christ, he's the Messiah. Beyond that, he's our great high priest. And thank God for that. Jesus Christ is King. He's sovereign, he's Lord. There's not anything happens in this world that is not under his jurisdiction. He says that he is King, and all of his foes will be made his footstool. But look a step further, if you will, this morning. Look at verse number 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. When Christ died, was taken in the garden, a prisoner, betrayed by Judas, and depicted so wonderfully and through the eyes of Peter, the disciples scattered like a covey of quail. Jesus had already told them they were going to do that. He said, they'll smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. They did. They've scattered. Three times, Peter, that big fisherman, as it says in the drama, the one that God chose. I was reading in the book of Matthew devotionally yesterday morning and looking back at the call. He came and he called Simon and Andrew, his brother. Then he called James and John. He called Peter. And Peter seemed to have a special place. And you remember what happened to Peter? He denied the Lord three times. And not only did he deny him, but he said, I don't even know him. And then the Bible said, and he cursed. Oh, listen, look at the transformation of this man's life. The Lord knew he was going to do that. And he said, Peter, I pray that your faith fail not. And he didn't. He did like you and I do. He failed the Lord miserably, but his faith didn't fail. And he said, when you're converted, that is when you're changed, not when you get saved again, but when the change comes. And what made the difference? What was it that made the difference between a man who would run and hide from a man who would deny the Lord? What made the difference? At his resurrection, he told Mary, you go tell the disciples that I go before them, and you tell Simon that I'm risen. And he went to somewhere in point in time, after he was risen, before he ever met with the other ones, he went to Peter. I believe that with all my heart. He saw him. He was one of the first to see him risen, and it put in his heart. But then the disciples, he came into that upper room with them. They saw him. They saw the pierced hands, the pierced feet. They knew it was him. They knew he was alive. I mean, listen, you're talking about seeing somebody die a brutal, horrible death, and now he's alive. He's standing in front of you. He's talking, and he eats fish, and he takes honey, and he's alive. He's just real. I mean, he's resurrected. He did what he said. And it revolutionized them. It energized them. It gave them boldness. And so the Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, when God had sent the Holy Ghost of God, they stood up and they testified, and they were so full of God, the Bible said that they were ecstatic, such joy flooding their soul, rejoicing over the risen Lord, that the people thought they were drunk. They said, we're not drunk as you suppose. He said, but this is that which was promised. The Holy Ghost of God's come. And they stood and they preached the Word of God. They shared the gospel message. Look over at Acts chapter 4, if you will, please. In Acts chapter 4, I want you to look and notice what it says. And as they began to speak, the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came unto them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They laid hands on them, put them in hold until the next day, for it was evening tide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of them was about 5,000. I'm telling you, they had the power of God on them after Pentecost, and they had 5,000 folk to get saved. They were taken prisoner, and they would do that. But look over, if you will, please, and look at verse number 10. Listen to what they said. Be it known unto you all and to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you, before you whole. Thank the Lord for that. The Lord Jesus Christ is Savior. Look at verse 12. Listen to how they testify. Neither is there salvation in any other, and there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Boy, God gave them boldness before governors and kings, and they kept that testimony until they died a martyr's death. They were faithful to God. When you have an encounter with the Holy Ghost of God, when you have an encounter with them, the Bible says that they looked on these men, and when they perceived that they were ignorant and learned men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, as I began to read and study this during the week, I realized they knew who they were. They'd seen them before. But what are they talking about? Not that they were with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, not that they were with Jesus in a ship on the Sea of Galilee, but they had been with a living, resurrected Savior, and that's what made the difference, that they'd been with Jesus. They knew He was alive, and above 500 other brethren saw Him at one time. But man, they had boldness because He lives, He's real. And it's that resurrected power inside me and you that'll give us the boldness we need to testify of a living Savior and that He lived, and thank God for it. But not only is the resurrection of an exalted Christ and emboldened disciples, but it is an empowered gospel. Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This morning, Brother Barry read a long passage in the book of 1 Corinthians, and for the sake of time, I won't take time to read it. But in that passage of Scripture, he's talking about the resurrection, and he said, we preach Christ and Him resurrected, the resurrection of Christ. And tied to that resurrection of Christ is your resurrection. And then he goes on to say, and if Christ be not risen, then we are found liars, false witnesses. You're yet in your sin, all those things. But then down in the latter verses, he said this, but now is Christ risen from the dead. He's alive. And what's the results of this empowered gospel? This gospel where he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. What is that message? What is that gospel? When in your Bible, in the book of Romans, I do want you to turn there. Turn to the book of Romans with me, if you will. You need to see this verse. In the book of Romans, and let me share this with you real quick. In Romans chapter 4, look at verse 25. He's talking, let me read verse 24. Romans chapter 4 and verse 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, but He was raised for our justification. What are the results of the resurrection? It is an empowered gospel. And that is this, He was delivered for our offenses. Why did He die? The wage of sin is death. And yet He had no sin, and He died. How do you figure that? How would He die? Why would He die if He had no sin? Well, the Bible said, He hath borne our grief. He's carried our sorrow. And all of our iniquity was laid on Him. Peter said that He bore our sin in His own body on the tree. And so what happened on that? He was delivered for our offenses, for our sin. He died for our sin. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Listen to this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. He paid our sin debt. Oh, listen. The benefits of the resurrection is an empowered gospel. It's empowered good news. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a story. It has the power of God in it. The power of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel has power in it. And thank the Lord for that. It has power to justify. Justify. Just as if we've never sinned. My dear friends, He died to pay for our sin debt. And our debt's been paid in full. And we receive that. And then we stand before God just as if we've never sinned. When I was preaching on forgiveness in the Wednesday morning and Wednesday night, the Bible said we're to forgive one another even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. And then He goes on further than another, said that we are to forgive as Christ forgave. How did He forgive us? He forgave us completely, fully. When you ask God to save you of your sin, He'll forgive you of every sin. But He forgives you forgettingly. That means He'll remember it against you no more. You're justified. And if you really forgive somebody, you treat them as if they've never sinned. And that's the way he treats us who've been born again and justified. And because of the resurrection, he can do that. We are justified by his resurrection, just as if we've never sinned. We're definitely sinners and we're guilty before God. But Jesus Christ paid our sin debt and you receive justification while you're there in the book of Romans. Let's look a little further. Look in chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Did you know that peace with God is a product of the resurrection? That's the result of the resurrection. It's peace with God. We're not at enmity with God. We're not afraid of God anymore. We have a peace with God because of the resurrection. Notice something else in verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into his grace. He says to us in the book of Hebrews again that we should come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. How do you come to that? He says in the book of Hebrews, you come through the veil of his rent flesh. The resurrection paid our sin debt, and now he's opened the veil, just like he tore the veil in the temple at the resurrection. We have direct access to God now. And thank God, because he's alive, we can go in. Years ago, I heard the story of a little boy who was very, very rich and lived inside the walls of a great palace. On the outside was one of the little poor boys that played. One day, the little boy outside was playing with this ball and he kicked it and somehow it went up high enough. It went over the fence and into the palace yard. The little boy was afraid and scared and didn't know what to do. But then all of a sudden the gate swings open and out comes the son of the king and he has him his ball, but he invites him, you come in with me. And he got to go into the palace because he was invited by the son. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And my dear friend, you can have peace. You can have justification. You have access to God. You can come boldly to the throne of grace because you go through his dear son to get your requests known. Look a little bit further and I'll be through. Notice verse 2 again, by whom also we have access by faith into grace wherein we stand and rejoice. The results of the resurrection is rejoicing. All those disciples rejoiced. The ladies rejoiced. Everybody rejoiced because he's alive. But my dear friend, when God justifies you, forgives all your sin, when he extends mercy to you, makes you a child of the King, gives you access to God's mercy and grace, you then have joy unspeakable, rejoicing in your heart because of that. Notice, if you will, turn over in chapter 5 of the book of Romans, one last verse this morning. Look at verse number 9. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9. Much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. There's a great day of wrath coming on this earth. They call it the time of Jacob's trouble. They call it the tribulation period. But beyond that is a place called hell. But God hath delivered us from the wrath to come. And because of the resurrection, we don't have to go through the tribulation. Because of the resurrection, we don't have to go to hell. Because of the resurrection, we get to go to heaven. The results of the resurrection. Now, there has to be more to the story than that. There has to be a reception of the resurrection. There has to be a belief. They preached the death, burial, and resurrection. But then if you read that passage that I didn't take time to read, he said, I deliver to you, first of all, that which I have received and what you've received also. You have to receive the blessings of that resurrection. He's done it. It's available to everybody in this building, everybody in the media. But he said, you will not come to me that you might have life. If you'll come to him, I'll in no wise cast you out, he said. If anybody in this building, man, woman, boy, girl, young or old, anybody in the sound of my voice in the radio ministry or the internet ministry, if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved if you'll receive Him right now. Would you bow your heads in prayer? With every head bowed, every eye closed, thank God for His death, for His burial, and for His resurrection. All the wonderful, blessed benefits and the wonderful results of the resurrection. Our Heavenly Father, I pray now, God, for Your power. Oh, Lord, You said You'd send the Holy Ghost. Our Father, I don't have to ask You to do that. You've already done that. And I pray right now, God, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, that You've already been convicting people of sin, righteous of judgment. Lord, I pray that here in the building, in radio or internet audience, that some would trust the Lord Jesus Christ, that believe on Him and receive Him. I pray, God, right now they do that. Friends, while we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, I want to encourage you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that you're lost. Believe that He died for your sin. Believe that He will save you. And if you believe it, if it's real in your heart, the Holy Ghost of God's convicted you of your sin. He's not doing that just to tease you. He wants to save you this morning. And if you will respond in faith, you say, Brother Bill, I can't understand it all. Nobody really can right now. We'll be learning until we go to heaven. But I tell you, you respond to what you do know, and here's what you know. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you. We are sinners. Jesus Christ died to save sinners. That means He died to save you. Jesus invites you to come to Him, and He'll in no wise cast you out. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, you call on Him by faith. You may not have a feeling. You may not understand. But if you don't want to die and go to hell and you believe that Jesus Christ died to save you as a sinner, I'd do what I could do. And what you can do is the same thing the thief on the cross did. You can call on His name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God will save you for Christ's sake. He'll forgive you for Christ's sake. But you've got to ask Him. You've got to receive Him. You pray, ask Him this morning. Sometimes I'm hesitant to pray a prayer because people may think it's a certain word you pray or a certain way you pray. But it's your heart that counts. If you really, really, really know you're lost and you really want to be saved, would you cry out to Him something like this? Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I acknowledge and confess my sin this morning. Lord, I believe You died for my sin. You paid my sin debt. That's what the death of the cross was all about, Lord. You died to save sinners. I thank You, Lord, for dying for me. Lord, right now, I ask You to come in my heart. Forgive me of all my sin. I believe You died and were buried and rose again. And I believe, Lord Jesus, that God, You died that I could be saved. Right now, I accept You as my Savior and Lord. Thank You, Jesus, for loving me. Thank You for dying for me. And thank You for saving me right now. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed across this building this morning, I pray that You meant that prayer. In the media audience, I pray that you meant that prayer. He goes on to say in the book of Romans, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I believe that a believing heart is a calling heart. I believe a believing heart is a confessing heart. If you believed on Him, you shouldn't be ashamed of it. You may not know everything and you may not be comfortable in all situations. But right now, in this quiet time, you can confess Him. You can say, thank You, Lord, for saving me. And if you want to do that, maybe you'd want to lift your hand in the building this morning and say, Lord, thank You for saving me just now. Would you raise your hand across the building? Why, everybody in the building, anybody? Thank You so much. Maybe you, too, have trusted Christ already. It's a Sunday after Easter Sunday, but He's alive. Thank God what you have in Christ right now, every bit of it, is a result of the resurrection. And would you raise your hands toward heaven this morning and just thank Him for resurrected power, for the exalted Christ, for emboldened witnesses that preached and taught you about Jesus, and for the empowered gospel that saved you.